Turn your Bibles today to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, the sermon title today is The Connection. And if you were sitting in our CE class today with Dennis, you're going to hear a lot of the scripture that was shared today in that class. It's going to be almost like a continuation of it. So we praise God for His goodness. But in Acts chapter 2, if you go down to verse 40, Acts chapter 2, verse 40, and we see that this is at the end, where at the day of Pentecost, where the believers were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we see that Peter stands up and he preaches to the people. And at the ending, it goes into verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and the breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. It was amazing what we see taking place here in the book of Acts. It is amazing what we see taking place at Crossroads Gospel Church. We have so much to praise God for, and we have so much to give thanks for. We give thanks for this church. We give thanks for you. God has blessed us over and abundantly, and I believe that we are only getting started of what God wants to do in our midst. God's work at Crossroads Gospel Church is not done. The Lord gave Pastor Carol a word at the end of the service last Sunday, and she wasn't able to share it, but I will share it with you today. If we continue to preach the Word of God, our fields of harvest will be enlarged. Hallelujah. Praise God. This church in Acts had a special connection. And that's why they were growing and God was adding to the church daily. Many of you feel that connection here at this church, but might not be able to explain it. We've had people that's come to church and we sit around and we visit and no one wants to get up and leave because there's just such a comfortable feeling. It's a warm feeling. And not only you're feeling the presence of God, but it's like you're just sitting in a great and wonderful place. And it's not because, I'll give you the headline, it's not because of the building that you're sitting in. Some might say that in this church that they feel the love of God. Some might say that they feel the joy, and there's joy among the people, or there's unity among the people, which are natural attributes. These are natural attributes that come out of that connection. So what is that connection? So give me a little time, and we're going to get to what that connection is. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Romans 10 and verse 8. We're going to give you a little background and bring you up to date. So Romans 10 and verse 8, and we're going to read verses 8 through 13. So Romans 10, verse 8, and it says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, one that you're very familiar with, that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. That we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now turn with me back to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. If you did not receive, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Indeed, we suffer with Him that we may also be glorified together. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful and glorious name. I read something in a book. I've shared it to a couple people here a while back. I'd like to say it was my words, but it wasn't. But the individual says, we do not pray seeking victory. We pray from a place of victory. Our victory is in the Lord Jesus. That's who you are as a child of God, an heir, a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that He has given the Father, He has given unto you, given the Son, He has given unto you because of your relationship that you have with Him. Glory to the name of Jesus. We thank Him for His goodness. When we accept Christ and are born again, the Spirit of God indwells our lives. So turn with me to John 14 and verse 16. Go back to the Gospel of John chapter 14. In John 14 and verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and what? And will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. The connection for the church talked about in the book of Acts was the Spirit of God. That's the connection. The connection you and I have, it's not that we all like white cars or that we all drive Chevys or we all drive Fords or we all like Chiefs football. You and I are not even related physically, but we are related and connected spiritually. Listen to me. When your spirit connects to my spirit, then our spirit connects us to God, and that's what fellowship is. You know, it's not all just about eating, but I always step up to the plate. I'm not going to ever say, well, I just want to have the fellowship and don't want to eat. I want to eat and have the fellowship. But the fellowship that we're talking about is a connection that you and I have through the Spirit of God. Your spirit bears witness with His spirit that you're a child of God. And if a child of God meets another child of God, all of a sudden there's a connection because of the Spirit that is between you and that person, because it is the Spirit of God. Where two or more gathered, I am in the midst of them. That connection is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joy flows out of that connection. Peace flows out of that connection. Love flows out of that connection. Galatians 5:16 says, and it tells us to walk in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit connects us. The flesh disconnects us from God and from each other. You want to see a church split? Then you're watching a group of people that's walking in the flesh because they got out of the Spirit. And when you get out of the Spirit, you've lost your connection with God. Now turn with me to John 17, verse 20. You're not very far from there. John 17 and verse 20. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So how are we one with the Father? How are we one with the Spirit? How are we one with the Son? Because our spirit connects us. That's oneness. I in them, verse 23. I in them, you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. That church that we're talking about in the book of Acts, they were connected by the Spirit of God. And because they were connected by the Spirit of God, there was love, there was joy, there was peace. If somebody in the congregation had a need, the other people raising their hand says, how can I help you with that need? What can I do as connected spiritually as a brother and sister in Christ? The outside community sees that and they said, there's something going on in that church. There's something going on in that church that we do not have in our life and we do not find it in this world. It is the Spirit of the living God. That's what they have. And this church needs the Spirit of the living God because it will draw people to Jesus. People will find Jesus as their Lord and Savior. What did it say? They had favor with the people because of the Spirit. The Spirit gave them favor. The Spirit connects us and the flesh disconnects us. Oneness flows out of that spiritual connection. So then let me ask you, how is your connection? How is your connection with God? We've already said when you accept Christ, the Spirit indwells your life. In John 14, verse 16 and 17. Let's go back there. John 14, verse 16 and 17. 16 and 17 said this, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. He's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to leave you comfortless. He would send you and I the Comforter. He will help us. In what ways? We'll look at John 16, verse 13. John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you to all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is of mine and declare it unto you. He will lead, he will guide, he will direct, he will lead us to all truth. Now Romans 8:14 says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. When you or I or the church gets over in the flesh, we break the connection. Because we are no longer walking in the Spirit. If you know Christ, be assured of this. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. You need to be listening. Just as he wants to lead and guide this church, are you hearing from God? Is he speaking to your heart? Is he drawing you into a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? So it's like this, brethren. I should be able to go around from person to person in this church and say, what is the Lord speaking to your heart? What has the Lord been dealing with you about? How is the Lord leading you in your life? And you would be able to say, well, in prayer this week and in devotion this week, I believe that this is what the Lord is telling me. Don't ever be scared of that, church. Lean into it. We lean on his everlasting. I think we sang that song. We lean on his everlasting arms. Lean into the directing power of the Holy Spirit in your life. He will lead you. He will guide you. How do you think this church got here? It's because a group of people was listening to God and they were leaning into the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit was leading and he led us here. That's how it works. But when we get disconnected because of the world and the dynamics of the world, now as a disclaimer, because I talked with the youth a little bit on Wednesday about this, the disclaimer is God's Spirit will never have you do anything outside of the Word of God. Okay? So if God's Spirit is telling you, you think it's God's Spirit telling you to go out and kill yourself, it is not God's Spirit, it's Satan. If you feel that God's Spirit is telling you to go out and hurt somebody, then it's not God's Spirit, it's the adversary. The Holy Spirit would never do anything outside of the will of God. That's why you and I can listen to it. If you, as a born-again believer, get up tomorrow, and you're having your devotion, and you're having your prayer, and the Holy Spirit puts somebody on your heart, then you need to be praying for them. Maybe the Holy Spirit will tell you you need to contact them. You don't know why. You don't know for whatever reason. You don't need to know the reason why. All you need to do is listen to the Holy Spirit, respond to the Holy Spirit, and if you keep responding, He's going to keep speaking to your heart, and He's going to have greater things for you to do as an individual. Maybe you are struggling and you're hearing that leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, many churches don't even ever talk about it. They never talk about it. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. I'm going to explode myself in your life. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, who's the He in you? Jesus is the He that's in you. But maybe that in that connection that you have, there's a lot of static. And the noise of the world creates static. Unless we shut out the noise of the world, we will never hear the voice of God. I'll say that again. Unless we shut out the noise of the world, we will never hear the voice of God. Do you recognize how much noise there is in this world? Are you sitting at home now, if you still watch TV, that when you get comes to a commercial, you mute it? Because they're always louder, it's always noisier, and you just get so tired of hearing the commercials because it's just blaring. It's just noise, noise, noise. Today, go home, if you watch a football game, you can't even hear the commentators because the noise of the loud is so loud, it's just roaring all the time. The commentator's talking, but it's just noise. We leave home in the morning, and we get in the car, and we turn on the radio. And then we go to work, and we're in the noise of the world all day long at work. We get back in the car, we turn the radio back on. Many times it's not a Christian program. We get home, and as soon as we walk in the door, we turn the TV on so we have more noise. And we'll leave it on all evening until it's time to go to bed, and then we'll turn it off, and we'll go to bed. Why is that? Well, for some reason, you're kind of used to it. I mean, an average household, TV's on 6 or 7 hours a day. But there's another reason that's taking place. It's the adversary. He wants to fill your life with noise so you will not hear the voice of God. That's why devotions are so very, very important. So noise, noise, noise. Even noise you can't hear. Well, how can that be? When you're on your phone, when you're on Facebook, when you're on Snapchat, when you're playing games, it's filling your thinking. We fill our ears and we fill our minds and we fill our hearts with the noise of the world, and Satan loves noise. Because as Christians, we do not take the time to hear from God. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. When was the last time that you sat down and you read the scripture and you took time to meditate on it, you took time to pray on it, about it, and then you took time to listen? When was the last time that you did that? We need to shut out the noise of the world so we can be led by the Spirit of God. For you to leave here today to know that you are a child of God, because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that His Spirit bears witness with your spirit, that you are a child of God, to know if that has taken place and you have that acknowledgement of the Spirit in your life, that God wants to lead you if you will listen. I will not leave you comfortless. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to close this way today. Matthew chapter 6 is the Lord's Prayer. Many churches say the Lord's Prayer weekly in their church, but it really has become for them more of a vain repetition because they're not listening to what it says. They're not thinking about what it says. They're just repeating the prayer. Today, we want to gather and we want to use this as a prayer model. Take the tune out the noise of the world and open that spiritual connection that is between you and God. Now, I'm not the greatest prayer in the world, and I most certainly don't have all the answers. You know that. But I want to give you an example. When you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, of how you might pray this prayer. It starts out in this manner, but therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And you just stop and say, God, you are so awesome. You are the Ancient of Days. Before time, you were there. You're the greatest God. You're the greatest creator in the world. I stand before you with praise and worship and rejoicing because you mean so much to me, Father, and I praise you forevermore. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we believe that heaven rules. And as you are ruling in heaven, I desire for you to rule on this earth. I desire for you to rule in my life. I want to follow you more than I want anything else. Father, I believe in household salvation, and I want you to rule on our household. I have family members that do not know Jesus, Father. I want them to come to know you. I want you to rule in their life as you do in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, meet our needs because you are a God. You're our Jehovah Jireh. You're my God that meets my needs. I've got bills out there. Don't know for sure how I'm going to get them paid. But Father, you're my provider. I look to you because you are going to provide. You are going to meet your needs. What did we say in Genesis class today? If a word says it, it's settled. It's done. It's forever. If God is my healer, he is my healer. If God is my deliverer, he is my deliverer. If God is my provider, he is my provider. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, I make a lot of mistakes. I think the wrong things. Sometimes I have the wrong attitude. I want you to help me, Father, and I ask that you forgive me. And Lord, I just pray for those that, well, there's people I just really struggle to forgive. They've done a lot of things to hurt me, and they've hurt mine. And I don't know how I'm going to do it, Lord. I can only do it with your strength. But I pray that, Father, with your strength, that I will forgive them today. Verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We're being tempted on every side, just as Jesus. But Jesus knew no sin. Lord, you say in your word in 1 Corinthians that you make a way of escape. The temptation that I feel, I pray that you will make me a way of escape through that today. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. No matter what this world says, Father, you're in charge. And I recognize that. And I acknowledge that. You see, the Lord's Prayer is just not saying a prayer, but it's a prayer model that you can practice this week. Now, this is my challenge for you today. That everyone in this church is going to do the Lord's Prayer in their own words, just like we did it, every day of this week. And when you get done, I know everybody does devotions, but when you get done, I want you to be still before God. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. He loves you. I love you. Carol loves you. It's not even comparison to how much God loves you. He created you. He created you. If
Father, we just are thankful that your word is true. And there's a special time that we can gather and listen to you. And I pray everyone will have that desire in their life. That everyone will be able to take that time and shut the noise out and open that connection up between them and you today. I pray that you would bless this congregation this week. If people are going to be on the road that you're traveling, mercies would be upon each and every one of their lives. And we thank you, Father, for your goodness and your grace and your presence. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen. Amen. Amen.